This discourse was delivered by the Buddha to a monk called Moliya Phagguna. Moliya Phagguna was very friendly with bhikkhunis. And he went and spent a lot of time with them. It's called Ativelam. That means he's stayed over time.
Naki.
So spending too much time with bhikkhunis is not very good for a bhikkhu. There is a danger, like bringing petroleum and fire close to each other, and there anything can happen, especially if they spent too much time together. So the bhikkhus advised Moliya Phagguna, Venerable Phagguna, it is not very good for you to stay that long in bhikkhuni's monastery. And if they happen to say anything in the form of criticism of bhikkhunis, he got very angry. He would become angry and displeased and would make a case of it. That means he wants to go to the court of monks, and make a big case. Adhikaranam. Adhikarana in Pali actually is hearing in cases. Adhikarana means justice. And also, if anybody said anything in the form of criticism of Moliya Phagguna in front of bhikkhunis, bhikkhunis got angry. And they also were displeased and would make a case of it. So much was the Venerable Moliya Phagguna associating with bhikkhunis. So the bhikkhus advised, they did not go to advise bhikkhunis, they advised Moliya Phagguna. Why didn't they go and advise bhikkhunis? Because it was not bhikkhunis who come to monks' monastery and spend so much time, but a bhikkhu went to bhikkhunis' monastery. So, monks' duty was to advise bhikkhu, the one who goes there and spend a long time. So finally, after advising several times, bhikkhus could not stop him. Then they went to see the Buddha and complained. And Buddha sent another monk and asked him to come. He came. When the Buddha asked him, asked Moliya Phagguna, is it true that you are associating over much with bhikkhunis, that you are associated so much with bhikkhunis, that if any bhikkhu speaks dispraise of those bhikkhunis in your presence, you become angry and displeased and make a case of that, of it? And if any bhikkhu speaks dispraise of you in those bhikkhunis' presence, they become angry and displeased and make case of it. Are you associating so much with bhikkhunis as it seems? Moliya Phaguna was very honest. He said, yes, Venerable Sir. He did not want to hide or tell lies and want to justify, say, no, Venerable Sir, I was teaching them Dhamma. What is wrong with that? Is it not good for me to go and teach them Dhamma? They ask me Dhamma questions. Every time I go there, they have Dhamma questions. I've been teaching them Dhamma. What is wrong with that? He did not try to defend himself. He was so honest. As Buddha asked him, is it true? He said, yes, Venerable Sir. Then Buddha told him, Phaguna, it is not proper for you. See, Buddha was so compassionate in many other places, like Arita, Sati, Sunakkhata, when these monks misrepresented the Buddha and had the wrong views, Buddha reprimanded them very harshly because they were misrepresenting the Dhamma, misrepresenting the Buddha. And therefore Buddha was very stern and very harshly reprimanded. But in this case, Buddha knew Venerable Moggali Moliya Phaguna was a very pious monk, very religious, very devoted. He actually was not committing anything offensive. He was just spending time, maybe teaching them Dhamma. Even if he taught them Dhamma, he did not want to defend himself in front of the Buddha, because he had so much respect for the Buddha. And when Buddha asked him, is it true that you spend so much time? Yes, Venerable Sir. Then Buddha said, it is not proper for you, clansmen, gone forth out of faith from the home life in homelessness, to associate overmuch with bhikkhunis. Therefore, if anyone speaks dispraise of those bhikkhunis in your presence, you should abandon any desire, any thought based on the household life. Now, what is household life thought? Desire, greed, attachment, clinging. These are household life thoughts. And that is what can arise in your mind when you... That is what arises in your mind when you are criticized by other bhikkhus. And you have desire in your mind. And therein you should not train thus. My mind will be unaffected and I shall utter no evil words. I shall abide compassionate for his welfare with the mind of loving kindness without inner hate. This is how you should train, Phaguna. Before that, Buddha asked him another very, very beautiful question. Phaguna, are you not clansman who has gone forth out of faith from the home life into homelessness? This is the thing that Buddha kept in mind. This venerable monk went forth, renounced household life, became a monk out of faith. And Buddha wanted to preserve his faith. In another discourse, Buddha has mentioned that even if a monk who is very, very devotional, very faithful, all he has is saddha. He is not very highly intellectual, not very highly educated. He is very soft, gentle, fragile, very kind. Any tiny little time, little thing can make him disappointed. All he has is faith. Buddha said, if such a monk commits an offense, Buddha said, don't be harsh on him. Don't be critical, criticize and scold him. Don't try to punish him. And you must protect his faith, his devotion, his sadhā. Just like somebody has only one eye. That's all he has. Other eye is lost. Then all his friends and relatives are trying to help that eye. They want to protect that eye. Because they all love this person. Similarly, if a bhikkhu has a lot of sadhā, faith, devotion, try to protect that person. Don't criticize too harshly. And this is exactly what the Buddha did here to Maulya Phagguna. He was so devoted. He asked this question first. Are you not a clansman who has gone forth out of faith from the home life into homelessness? Then he said, yes, Venerable Sir. And then Buddha gave very soft, gentle, kind advice to him and said, Aguna, don't get angry. Even if they criticize you, criticize bhikkhunis in your presence, don't get angry. And Buddha went on telling him, if anyone gives those bhikkhunis a blow with his hand, with a clod, with a stick, or with a knife in your presence, you should abandon any desire, any thought based on the household life. So somebody these days might say, is it what monks should do when somebody beats a bhikkhuni in their presence? Should the monk simply keep quiet? Remain, silent? Give him physical blow with hands, with clod, with stick, with knife to a bhikkhuni? She is defenseless, female. You as a monk, bhikkhu, should you come forward to defend this innocent bhikkhuni, and so forth. And so one might say, see how unkind the Buddha is. Buddha asked this monk not to do anything, even if somebody gives a blow to a bhikkhuni, hit with clod, stab. This is how people question. But Buddha tells the bhikkhu, now, if Buddha were to give the same advice to bhikkhunis, Buddha would have given the same advice to bhikkhunis. Because those bhikkhunis also got angry, upset, when somebody criticized Maulya Phagguna. And Buddha would have given the same advice to bhikkhunis. But in this case, it was not the bhikkhunis who went to bhikkhu's monastery. And therefore, Buddha did not want to say anything. Buddha did not go to them and said, you allow this monk to come and spend time with you? You are not supposed to do that? And so forth. And Buddha did not go to advise them. Today somebody would say, why don't you go and tell those bhikkhunis? They are the ones who would not let me come. They kept on asking me questions, so I had to answer their questions. You should go and tell them. That is why today monks tell us, It is not my fault. It is their fault. You should go and tell them. Moliya Paguna was so religious, so pious, so dedicated, he simply submitted to the Buddha and listened. He did not argue with the Buddha, how can Venerable Sir, you tell me not to do anything when somebody beat a woman, beat a bhikkhuni? He did not say anything. He simply listened. And he repeated the same thing. If anyone speaks disgrace in your presence, you should abandon any desire and any thought based on the household life, and therein you should train thus, my mind will be unaffected, and so forth as before. So Buddha spelled out each means of attacking them. Then he used the word blow with his hand, a stick, knife. You should abandon any desire, any thoughts based on the thoughts, household life. And herein you should train thus, my mind will be unaffected and I shall utter no evil words. I shall abide compassionate for his welfare with a mind of loving kindness without inner hate. That's how you should train yourself, Phaguna. Then there were other bhikkhus in his presence when Buddha was advising Phaguna, and he said, bhikkhus, there was an occasion when the bhikkhus satisfied my mind. Here I address the bhikkhus thus. Bhikkhus, I eat at a single season. By so doing, I am free from illness, afflictions, and I enjoy health, strength, and comfortable abiding. Come, bhikkhus, eat at one single season. By so doing, you will be free from illness and afflictions, and you will enjoy health, strength, and comfortable abiding. And I had no need to keep on instructing those bhikkhus. I had only to arouse mindfulness in them. You see, there was a time, not now, Buddha was not talking about now. At the moment he was advising Bhikkhu Phaguna, there was a time in the past. At that time, monks were so diligent, obedient, and Buddha simply has to give advice only once. And then he did not have to remind them again and again. All he had to do is to ask them to be mindful. That's all. And he gave a very beautiful example. Mindfulness is compared to a rod, a stick. That is used to tap a horse. There is a saying in the Theragatha, Sache dhāvati te chittaṁ kāme sucha bhave sucha khippaṁ niggaya satiya khiddhādāvya duppasum. It's a very beautiful statement. If your mind runs to sense pleasures or to re-existence, bhaveshu, kameshu, bhaveshu, khippang niggaiha, with satya, with mindfulness, quickly reprimand that mind, quickly advise that mind. Khiddhādāvya duppasum, just like using cane to train wild calf. Duppasung is an untrained cow. Just like using the cane to train untrained cow, tapping at the right moment. So Buddha said, all I have to do is satuppada karaniya meva. Satuppada means sati, uppada karaniya meva. That's all I have to do. Just bring their attention, make them mindful of their offense. That's all. That is why he said, appamadena sampadeta. Be vigilant. That's all he has to say, every day. So Buddha said then, suppose there were a chariot on even ground at the crossroads, harnessed to thoroughbreds, waiting with God lying ready, so that a skilled trainer, a charioteer of horses to be tamed, might mount it and take in the rein in his left hand, and the goat in his right hand, might drive out and back by any road whenever he likes. So too I had to need to keep on instructing those bhikkhus. I had only to arouse mindfulness in them. That was the time. And Buddha reminded these bhikkhus, therefore bhikkhus, ardent what is unwholesome, abandon what is unwholesome, and devote yourself to wholesome states, for that is how you will come to growth, increase, and fulfillment in the Dhamma and discipline. We learned this earlier in Dvedhavitakka Sutta, I think. Two kinds of thoughts. Bring wholesome mental states and abandon unwholesome state. Bringing wholesome mental state into mind all the time helps to grow, increase and fulfill in this Dhamma practice, Dhamma and discipline. Suppose there were a big sala tree grove near a village or town, and it was choked with castor oil weeds, that is the parasite. And some man would appear desiring its good welfare and protection. He would cut it down and throw out the crooked saplings that rob the sap, and he would clean up the interior of the grove and tend the straight, well-formed saplings, so that the sala tree grow later on would come to growth, increase and fulfillment. So too bhikkhus, abandon what is unwholesome and devote yourself to what is wholesome, the wholesome state. For that is how you will come to growth, increase and fulfillment in the Dhamma and discipline. So what Buddha was referring to is this spending unnecessary time on unnecessary things should be avoided in order to save that time to do the Dhamma Vinaya practice. It is spending time unnecessarily is like having weed on the tree that sucks the sap of the tree and makes it grow retarded, or makes it grow slow. Similarly, when we spend time on unnecessary things, we don't have time to grow ourselves in the Dhamma and Vinaya, and our growth will be very slow. Buddha gave this story of Vedehika and Kali. As you know, as you read the story, perhaps it's very easy to remember. Vedehika was known to be very soft, gentle, kind mistress, house lady in the house. And Kali was her housemaid. And people were talking very highly of Vedehika. But Kali thought, is it truly that Vedehika is so good that people talk of her so highly? Or is it because I do my duties properly, promptly, without failure? Let me test. So one day she slept little longer and got up little late. Then Vedehika got up and could not see Kali. She asked, Kali, she called herself, Kali, wake up. Then she woke up. Why did you sleep so long? See the time? Now it is late. Sun is up. What's the matter? Nothing, she said. All right. She got angry. Then she thought, hey, my plan seemed to work. She seemed to get angry. Next day she slept still later, woke up later. And then Vedehika asked the same question, Kali, what is the matter? Why did you wake up so late? Nothing. So Vedehika got even more angry and raised her eyebrows and wrinkles on his on her forehead and frowned at her, you know, showed her temper. Then, third day, she slept still later. And Vedehika asked her, what is the matter that you get up still later in the day? Nothing is the matter, madam. That's how these housemaids talk to their mistress. Nothing is the matter, madam. They have to say, madam. Nothing is the matter, you wicked girl. Yet you get up still later in the day. And she was angry and displeased, and she took a rolling pin and gave her a blow on the head and cut her head. So she gave a blow and injured her head. Then housemaid Kali, with blood running from her cut head, denounced her mistress to neighbors, see, ladies, the gentle ladies work. See, ladies, the meek ladies work. That is how he was known, very famous for meekness, gentleness. See, ladies, the peaceful ladies work. She was so peaceful. How can she become angry and displeased with her only maid for getting up late? How can she take a rolling pin, give her a blow on the head and cut her head? Then later on, bad reports about Mistress Vedehika spread thus. Mistress Vedehika is rough. Mistress Vedehika is violent. Mistress Vedehika is malicious. merciless. So Buddha said, this is a very beautiful story. Sotu Bhikkhu Sambhikkhu is extremely gentle. Some bhikkhus are extremely gentle. Pali word is sorata sorato. Sorata sorato. Extremely gentle. Extremely meek. Nivata nivato. Extremely peaceful. Upasantu upasanto. Pali words have very beautiful meaning. Sorata sorato, nivata nivato, upasantu upasanto. Extremely peaceful. So long as the disagreeable course of speech do not touch him. The speech that person hears is very gentle, pleased, kind, soft. So long as he hears these pleasant words, he is extremely gentle, extremely meek, extremely peaceful. When everything goes on very well, the person is gentle, meek, and peaceful. But it is when disagreeable course of speech touch him that it can be understood whether the bhikkhu is really kind, gentle, and peaceful. Now this Moliya Phagguna was not very violent monk. So long as things are going, were going on well. The moment somebody criticized his friends, bhikkhunis, he got upset. So Buddha said, I do not call a bhikkhu easy to admonish who is easy to admonish and makes himself easy to admonish only for the sake of gentle getting robes, alms food, resting place, and medicine requisite. As long as the clothes, food, the shelter and medicine gets very easily, comfortably, quickly, the monks advising to that particular bhikkhu is very easy. That person may be expecting getting all these things easily from outside or from the advisor himself. Suppose the advisor gives him a robe or nice kuti to live and food. If the advisor has received some delicious food, he would give a part of it to this bhikkhu, and if he has additional medicine, he would give to this bhikkhu, and then if the advising monk advises him, the one who receives these things will very obediently, gently, meekly, softly, kindly accept the advice. Why? His motive is to get more robes, more food, more good, comfortable shelter, and medicine for any tiny little thing. So, Buddha said, I don't consider that person is easily admonishable, because that bhikkhu is not easy to admonish, nor makes himself easy to admonish when he gets no robes, alms food, resting place, and medicine requisite. But when a bhikkhu is easy to admonish and makes himself easy to admonish because he honors, respects and reveres the Dhamma, him I call easy to admonish. Whether he receives robes, food, shelter or medicine or not, if he respects the Dhamma, for the sake of Dhamma, he would remain gentle, meek, soft and peaceful. Because his utmost intention, greatest intention, is to respect the Dhamma, learn the Dhamma. Therefore, because you should train thus, we shall be easily admonished, we shall be easy to admonish and make ourselves easy to admonish because we honor, respect and revere the Dhamma. And then Buddha gives five courses of speech. The speech can be maybe timely, untimely, true or untrue, gentle or harsh, connected with good or with harm, spoken with mind of loving kindness or with inner hate. These are the five kinds of speeches. The speech can be timely or untimely, in appropriate time. Somebody might get angry. It is not what he said I was upset, but the time he used to say that, that was not true, that was not right. He spoke in front of people. He spoke when I was hungry. He spoke when I was meditating. He spoke at such and such a time. Therefore, because of that wrong time he spoke, I got angry. Buddha said, doesn't matter what time it is, even if he spoke at wrong time, untimely. Similarly, the speech is not true. Sometimes somebody can accuse somebody falsely and make false accusation, and still there's no reason to get angry. And Buddha mentioned this in Dīgha Nikāya, first discourse, Brahmajāla Sutta. Buddha said, when Buddha was walking, two other teacher and a student of another religious tradition were walking behind, and the teacher was criticizing the Buddha, the students was defending the Buddha. So Venerable Ananda happened to be there, he reported this to the Buddha, and Buddha said, if somebody criticizes the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, don't get angry. If the accusation is false, then you can softly, gently, kindly, without getting upset, tell the person, Mr. or Venerable, this is not true. But if you get angry, you cannot hear what the person tells. If the person speaks correctly, rightly, then you should say, yes, that is true. That is what the Buddha is. And so forth. But he said, don't get angry even if the speech is untrue. Gentle or harsh, Buddha encountered this, especially harsh speeches, many times. Chincha, Magandhya, and even Devadatta spoke very harshly Buddha never got upset, and that is what he advised us to do. Connected with the good or with harm, somebody might praise the Buddha, somebody may have very harmful intention, and still Buddha said, don't get upset. With loving kindness or inner hate, same thing. When others address you, their speech may be timely or untimely. When others address you, their speech may be true or untrue. Similarly, their speech may be gentle or harsh. Their speech may be connected with good or harm, with the harm. Their address, speech may be spoken with a mind of loving kindness or inner hate. You should train thus. Our mind will remain unaffected, and we still utter no evil words. We shall abide compassionate for their welfare with a mind of loving kindness, without inner hate, and we shall abide pervading that person with a mind imbued with loving kindness and starting with him. We shall abide pervading the all-encompassing world with mind imbued with the loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. Meaning, in all directions, even if somebody speaks harshly, unkindly and so forth, we must maintain our loving friendliness in all situations. That means if somebody is angry and very full of hate, inner hate, it is not a justification for us to get angry and hate that person back. Then Buddha gave few similes to show us how to practice patience. These are very interesting similes. Suppose a man came with a hoe and basket and said, I shall make this great earth to be without earth. That's what he said. Then what he does? He would dig here and there, throw soil here and there, spit here and there, urinate here and there, saying, be without earth. Be without earth. What do you think, bhikkhus? Could that man make this earth, great earth, to be without earth? No, Venerable Sir. Why is that? Because this great earth is deep and immense. It is not easy to make it to be without earth. Eventually the man would reap only weariness and disappointment. Very, very good simile. So, sutta also for meditation. When we meditate, this is the kind of mental state we have to maintain. No matter what happens, we must remain firm, steady, not budging for anything. This is a meditation. Especially in meditation, we remember some of these speeches. When we meditate, we remember, so-and-so says such a nasty thing. It was not true. It is simply an accusation. spoke to me very harshly. He spoke at the wrong time. And so forth and so on, we remember. Even at that time, that is the very important time to remember how to stay without getting disturbed, upset. Another simile Buddha gave, somebody comes with all kind of paints, crimson, turmeric, indigo, carmine, and said, I shall draw pictures and make pictures appear in the empty space. He may take bucket of paint with a brush and looking at the space he will draw an elephant picture, a horse picture with the paint and, you know, turn the paint brush here and there. Can he draw any picture in the space? Similarly, when the mind is free from hatred, free from enmity, nobody can make us angry. And he gave another simile. A man came with blazing grass torch and said, I shall heat up and burn away the river Ganges with this blazing grass torch. River Ganges is so big, has such a huge amount of water, he may dip the burning torch, grass torch, thinking of burning it, he may dip in the water. The grass torch will be extinguished. He cannot burn the water. Similarly, when one does not react, those speeches will simply become meaningless things. We can say that after all this is a sound, it hits my eardrums, it's impermanent, the sensation that arose in me is impermanent, perception that arose in me is impermanent, my thought regarding this these words are impermanent, my consciousness regarding with these thoughts, words are impermanent. So one looks at the impermanent nature of the aggregate that arises dependent upon the words. When a word arises in the mind, along with that other aggregates also arise. How can that happen? When the word arises in the mind as a memory, our body chemistry begin to react. And that is the physique, that the body. Then we feel. When we remember something unpleasant, we feel the feeling of unpleasantness. Then, mentally we recognize it, that is our perception. We recognize the unpleasant word we remember. Then, we think about those thoughts, that is volitional formations. We think about those unpleasant thoughts, unpleasant memories. Then, we become aware of it, that is our consciousness. So all the five aggregates will be activated at the very moment the unpleasant thought arose in the mind. And look at all these five aggregates, all of them are impermanent. The body chemistry that was activated by this memory is impermanent. The sensation or the feeling that arose depending on this memory is impermanent. Thought that arose in regard to this memory are impermanent. Our recognition, perception with regard to those things is impermanent, and consciousness is impermanent. Any memory can trigger all the five aggregates, and they all are impermanent. When we engage in seeing impermanence, the memory of unpleasantness goes away, disappears. So, then it is very easy for us to cultivate loving friendliness. Buddha gave another simile, catskin bag, that was rubbed, well rubbed, thoroughly well rubbed, soft, silky, rid of rustling, rid of crackling. So when it is rid of crackling and rustling, somebody will come with a stick and try to make it rustle and crackle. Since the catskin bag is so smooth, so soft, so gentle, and he has conditioned in such a way that no rustling or crackling can be produced in this catskin bag, no matter how much he beats with the stick. So too, because there are these five courses of speech that others may choose, when they address you, their speech may be timely or untimely, true or untrue, gentle or harsh, connected with good or with harm, spoken with mind with of loving kindness or with inner hate. When others address you, their speeches may be timely and so forth. You should train yourself. Our minds will remain unaffected, and we shall utter no evil words. We shall abide compassionate. We shall abide compassionate for their welfare, with mind of loving kindness, without inner hate. We shall abide pervading that person with the mind imbued with loving kindness, and starting with him. We shall abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind similar to catskin bag, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. This is how you should train yourself. Then he gives the last simile, and that is the title of this the discourse, Simile of the Sword. He has given so many other similes, but none of them he used as the topic, the heading of this discourse. Last simile is, even if bandits were to sever you savagely, limb by limb, with a two-handled saw, he who gave rise to a mind of hate towards them would not be carrying out my teaching. Even at that time when somebody comes and with a two-handled saw and sever hand, at that time no anger you should arouse in your mind. And then he sever the next hand, other hand, still you should not harbor hatred towards him. He sever one of the legs, you should not get upset. He sever the other leg, you should not get upset. And still, even at that time, you must say, our minds will remain unaffected, and we shall utter no evil words. We shall abide compassionate for their welfare, with mind of loving kindness, without inner hate. We shall abide pervading them with mind imbued with loving kindness, and starting with them. We shall abide pervading the all-encompassing world with the mind imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. That is how you should train bhikkhus. And this sutta, Venerable Sariputta explaining the way how we practice patience, he referred to this sutta. Remember this morning we were talking about Mahahattipadopana Sutta. In that sutta, he referred to this simile, simile of the saw. And that is how we practice patience, compassion, mindfulness. It's a very powerful, very strong simile to remember. Not easy, even though it is very striking, very powerful simile, although it sounds very extreme kind, but one who makes the commitment to the practice will not find this something extreme or impractical or something cannot be put into practice. So friends, this is all we can do this afternoon, and you take your time to do your homework, do your studies, and see you tomorrow or this evening again. Okay? Good night.